This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, a few months ago, I stumbled upon a Facebook post by the Countryside Ranger, and I was surprised to see that this was a local person working on No Man's Land and Bricketwood Commons, and I'd not heard about them before. So I was intrigued. I wanted to know what a Countryside Ranger did. Certainly one of those jobs that I'd never even knew existed. Anyway, I tracked down our local Countryside Ranger. His name is Peter Northcroft, and it's not surprising that we'd not come across him before, as he's relatively new to the post. So I asked him if he'd like to come and join us on Environment Matters and tell us about what he does and how he came to take up his role. I was a bit surprised when Peter got back to me and said that he'd be happy to talk to me, but that his story began in a dark place. Let's hear what he has to say when I spoke to him earlier. Peter, thank you so much for taking time on your day off to talk to us today. So you've not always been a Countryside Ranger. What drove you to give up your teaching job and move into the environmental sector?
Hi, Amanda. Oh, thanks for having me. I could give you an answer that would span the whole of today, but I'll try and keep it short. I'm a former classics teacher by trade, about 15 years of experience. And really the trigger for me to leave the profession was a very tragic event, which was the stillbirth of my son, George, in 2014. That trigger was anxiety, depression, stress, and over time trying to resolve that. Has been very difficult for me. So I sat back not so long ago and thought, what do I enjoy doing? What keeps me grounded? What do I need to do to manage myself, my mind, my health? And I loved pottering in the garden. I loved looking after everything I planted, and COVID in particular exaggerated that feeling that this is what I wanted to do, because we had more time on our hands when we were outside a lot. So really for me, it was pursuing something that I could cope with. And I'll always have, for the rest of my life, I think, issues with my anxiety and stress, but it's trying to manage that in the best possible way.
Okay. And you felt that that move outdoors, that move to something with a greater engagement with nature, was a more nurturing environment, somewhere where you felt that you were able to deal with your feelings inside and to
yeah,
cope with them.
I think there's something about being outside, being in an environment where you can be at peace with yourself. And I love teaching. And I'd hate to come across as someone who's left the profession with a hatred of it. That's not the case at all. It's actually purely a selfish reason that I needed to fix myself. And I think being outside in the country, in the environment we're in, appreciating what's on offer out there and how good it is for us to live and breathe the world in which we live. The more and more I do the work I currently do, the more I appreciate that quality and the impact it has in a positive way on your mental health.
Indeed. So you've made the move to be a Countryside Ranger. How did you fall from being a teacher into that? Was that the? I mean, there's lots of jobs that you could have opted for that would have taken you outside. So why a Countryside Ranger?
It was a bit of fortune, a timing. I was very lucky in terms of I'd stepped away from teaching gradually, and I was working for children's summer camps, not too distant from the teaching profession, and something I loved as well, and still do a bit of consultancy work. But then I decided, right, I don't really know much about plants and wildlife, and what am I going to do about it? So I first signed up for some RHS certifications, and that was going well, and I thought, you know, this is good. And I saw a job advert. I saw this advert pop up from John O'Connor, who had the contract with St Albans, the ground maintenance company. He'd been brilliant. And it was for this Countryside Ranger job. And I thought, you know what? I reckon I'd tick most of those boxes. The big one was knowledge. I thought, you know what? Just just apply for the job. You've got nothing to lose and see what happens. And here I am. And now John O'Connor are putting me through a diploma for countryside and environment. So I'm doing two different courses at the same time with the job, looking after two children. So yeah, it's busy. I'm sort of happy busy. That makes sense. Good busy.
Well, happy busy sounds like a good place to be. So you've made this move. Has it felt like a hard move, or do you really feel now that you're in a better place?
Yeah, I'm always going to need to be very mindful of where I'm at and when the sort of the demons, the monkeys, whatever you want to call them, come knocking, then it's dealing with that. And actually, yeah, I think, as we've already said, the job move has achieved that to a certain degree, more than I expected, I think. It's been tough, though. I mean, I mentioned the knowledge side of it. You know, I'm learning on the job. I'm sort of running before I can walk, in a way. And that's been, for me, probably the biggest challenge and the biggest stress. Not stress, but just I'm very conscious of meeting people who know more than me. So if I'm down on No Man's Land or Bricket Wood, the locals have a great knowledge, and it's fantastic, whether it's about the commons or just the history of the place. And I'm very mindful that here's silly old me, an old classics teacher who knows something about Romans and Greeks, but not much at the moment about flora and fauna. And so that's a big challenge.
Yes, I'm sure it is. But I'm sure with your thirst for your new knowledge, I'm sure that that will change. So can you just tell us a little bit about what you do as a countryside ranger? What the kind of things you're doing day to day?
Crikey. When I first started, I did a big blitz on litter and fly tipping and just trying to make things as tidy and as manageable as possible. And my mindset was, if it looks good, people are less likely to dump stuff and leave stuff. And that was my mindset. Whether I achieved that, I'm not sure. But yeah, general maintenance, path clearance. I'm sort of the conduit for lots of interested parties for both commons. I'm almost people's eyes and ears, whether it's the council or the landowner or whatever. So if a tree's fallen down, that may need to be reported. The members of the public come up to me, and which is great. It's a really enjoyable part of the job, that sense of community and people really valuing what they have on their doorsteps. So, you know, if people say, oh, Pete, I've just seen such and such a issue, then obviously that's me going and having a look and either dealing with myself or flagging it with the right body.
And when it comes to public engagement, Peter, do you run events? Is that kind of thing part of your job as well, getting other people interested in the two commons you look after?
Yeah, in terms of my job, I think the community side is a huge part of it. I would say engaging the community in a positive way will make a huge difference to how you manage and look after the environment. If people are on board, you've got their support in a way, which so the community for me is massive. And with my teaching background, I've already been popping into primary schools. So I think I was at Kimpton on Tuesday with the reception there. And I've done a few things with St. Helens and an eco team from Crabtree who've visited the Commons. So I've been looking at the education side of it. I run some walks and talks there. They're published on various laminates on the Commons, and I've got my own sort of website and social media channels. So if people want to reach out to me, they can, hopefully quite easily. On Bricket Wood, I'm available for Meet the Ranger every week. It's 1 o'clock by the notice board. And at No Man's Land, I'm trying to remember. It's Tuesday, 1 o'clock. And there's no notice board, but I'm in the car park. So I try and hover around. And if anyone sees a strange balding chap with a beard and a bright yellow jacket, that's me. And the public are more than happy to get anything they want off their chest. I'm always there, physically available as well. That's what I've been doing. Crikey. I've taken some walking groups around, organised some litter picks, particularly with the Wheatamstead Wombles. Yes, so there's all kinds of things I've been getting up to.
Sounds like you have been extremely, extremely busy there. And are you falling in love with these two pieces of common land that you've been kind of given responsibility for?
It's an absolute privilege. And the more you do it, the more you realise how lucky we are and how frustrating it can be as well when, you know, we mentioned litter and fly tipping. I mean, these places are just stunning, and it's our responsibility to live in harmony with them. We're not going away. and we don't want our environment to go away either. And there needs to be a balance struck there.
And have your feelings towards the commons changed at all as the seasons have passed?
Yeah, you mentioned the seasons as well. They're ever changing. So when I first started in January, it was freezing, snow, wet, and it was beautiful. And now in spring, it's lush and green and colourful and very different environments in this, you know, and I'm working in the same place all the time. So, you know, I'm very, very lucky. I was talking to someone this morning who was very envious of the job I do. And it's not, you know, fantastic all the time, but for most of the time, it is just, you know, just a fantastic, fabulous thing to be doing. And a sense of worth you get where you feel as though you're making a difference, I think. So
I'm sure that you do. And Peter, mindful of the way in which this engagement with nature is helping you, do you think about how other people with perhaps similar issues could benefit from these two lovely pieces of countryside in the same way?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I'm working. I'll best not tell John O'Connor this, I might be listening, but anyway, I'll tell them anyway. You know, when I'm working, if I have a down moment, I can literally be with myself, ground myself, and start again and disappear in these beautiful places and then pick up where I left off. And that breathing space, that moment you have where you can just pause and take a breath, literally take a breath, and look at where you are, I think is invaluable. And yes, there are benefits to this. And you know, even doing my studies at the moment, there's this clear connection in positive mental health and the environment in which we live, the natural environment we live, and I think the benefits of it are huge.
Yes, indeed. And how about you have been sort of entrusted with these two lovely places. How can we help you in a more physical way to ensure that these two lovely places...
Oh, crikey, where do I start? please put your dog poo bags in the bins provided. I think that's a big one. I don't want to lecture people, but it's infuriating seeing these things dangling off branches and trees. The bags are sold, I think, nowadays as possibly biodegradable, but I'm not sure they're intended to be flung on trees, especially dog poo, which can be hazardous to other animals if ingested. So, yes, things like that, just use the bins. I know there aren't many, but they're there. Yeah, I do get it, be in my bonnet about the litter and things like that. Be mindful of where we are, both looking up, looking down, looking ahead. The habitat is precious. Whether it's treading on heath-spotted orchids in Brickett Wood, the volunteers have very kindly built a little dead hedge around colony there, which was being trampled on during COVID. So you might not realise what's under your feet, perhaps until it's too late. You should just be mindful of where you are, stick to the paths and to the bylaws, which I'm supposed to be upkeeping. Yeah, and have fun. Have fun with it, but be responsible with it too. I think that's really important.
Yes, they are beautiful places that we can all enjoy, but like you say, a little bit of respect to ensure that...
Yeah, it goes a long way for me. You know, I had a member of the public in Brickett Wood come up to me the other day and he was worried about the motorbikes apparently being ridden across the common at night. And there are other activities at no man's land that really shouldn't be happening. You know, people just need to, as we've already said, just respect the land they're on, respect the environment and look after it. If they don't, it won't be there.
Peter, it sounds like you are quite close to the start of your journey as a ranger. So will you come back and share a bit more of your journey with Environment Matters listeners when you're a little bit further down that road?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Once I have obtained all possible knowledge, I can then be wax lyrical about everything else that I do, whether it's some surveys that are coming up, butterflies, reptile surveys and things like that. So there are other things hopefully happening that I can come back and report on for you.
Brilliant. They all sound fantastic. We look forward to hearing about those and how we can help you look after those two lovely places. Peter, thank you so much for telling us all about that.
Thank you for your time.
A big thank you to Countryside Ranger Peter Northcroft for sharing his very special story with us. And for more advice on how to ensure that you and your dog can enjoy spaces like Bricketwood Common and No Man's Land without disturbing the wildlife that is so special, head to the podcast page of mix926.com and search for the interview I did with Steve Werrell of the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust on just this subject. And do let me just say that both of these places, along with the rest of our countryside, are looking and sounding absolutely gorgeous at the moment, full of flowers and birdsong, and will make a fabulous place for a respectful walk. And if, like me, you love the sound of birdsong but struggle to know your blue tit from your blackbird, then there are apps that you can get on your phone that will listen and tell you what's what, so that you can gradually learn to recognise the songs yourself. Now, I use one called Merlin, but there are lots of others available too. I've never knowingly seen a chiff-chaff or a white throat, but I know that they live around here now because I've heard their song. This app, it's really just added a whole new element to countryside walks, and it's just given me a great way of learning a bit more about the wildlife around me. If you've not done, do give one a try. Now, one bird that I didn't need help with identifying its call for was a cuckoo that I heard recently over on Ellenbrook Field at the back of Knockcuts off Hatfield Road. And given how cuckoo numbers are struggling, I am always relieved to hear that a local cuckoo has made it all the way back from Africa for one more year. Have you heard any cuckoos? Or where are you enjoying getting out into nature at the moment? And do you find that being outside, surrounded by nature, does good things for your mental health? Well, it's always good to hear from you. You can get in touch via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Twitter and Facebook. So just finally, a quick reminder that the Sustainability Festival is coming up from the 10th of June, and you can check out the week-long programme of events on the SustFest page of the Sustainable St Albans website. Do go there and take a look and get those dates in your diary, whether it's for an eco-fashion show or a bio-blitz. There's loads of great stuff going on, but some of those events are already getting booked up. There you go, that's a job to do. I'll be back with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.